Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Throw end zone, touchdown! Back of the end zone, left side, and that's going to be the tight end, Jelani Woods. Single back right, first and goal from the three. Mahomes out of the shotgun, gets the snap, fires, touchdown! Into the end zone, Travis Kelce again. That drive belonged to number 87, the 10th year man from Cincinnati, Travis Kelce, with his 59th career touchdown reception. Man in motion, McKinnon out to the right, now goes back to the left side. Handoff, Edwards-Helaire behind the right side of the line, finds the end zone, touchdown Kansas City. Amendola on for a 42-yard offense. It's a fake, looking to throw. I don't know if that was designed or not, but it's incomplete. Out of the hold of Tommy Townsend. Amendola, 34-yard attempt from the right hash, swings the leg and missed it left. Do either one of these teams want to win the game? From their own 12-yard line, second and 10, Ryan out of the gun, gets the snap, looks over the middle, delivers, touchdown, end zone, Jelani Woods for the second time today, and the Colts have the lead with 24 seconds to play. Snap. Mahomes. Pump fake. Fires. Tapped and intercepted. Intercepted by Indianapolis. And the Colts are going to win this game. It's Rodney McLeod on the pick.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. We appreciate it. It's quite a weekend in football action for the for the local people, for the local fans, all over the board. Some was good, some was great, some was awful, some was unbelievable. Stuff that even I haven't seen before in my nearly 50 years of watching football. So a lot to unpack from the weekend. And look, it was great for Kansas and Kansas State. Kansas beats Duke in a battle of unbeaten in front of a sold out crowd in Lawrence. They win 35-27. Jalen Daniels has another big day, four touchdown passes, over 300 yards, 83 yards rushing with another touchdown. Kansas State goes on the road again and beats Oklahoma in Norman again, 41-34. And people questioning whether or not Adrian Martinez, people spent all week questioning whether Adrian Martinez was the right guy, whether he should get yanked. He answered those critics with 234 yards passing and a touchdown and 148 yards rushing and four more touchdowns. So I'm going to guess that he's the guy at K-State. And so right there, I'll just say this. Look, we're just starting the Big 12 conference season. We're just starting to figure out these teams, and we haven't figured out anything because Texas Tech beats Texas in overtime. So quick update here, Texas is not back. I did the calculations. We ran the numbers. looking at the analytics, Texas is not back. And so we have to cross that off our list. Like, I don't know how good TCU is. They're undefeated. Kansas is clearly a very dangerous team. Baylor and Iowa State, they had a slugfest up in Ames, and Baylor won that game. But they look like they're at least, you can call them two quality football teams. Oklahoma's got a world of talent, but they just lost at home to K-State. But there's every reason to think they'll bounce back from that and play well. K-State just sent notice that, hey, the real team was not the team that lost to Tulane. This is the real team that beat Oklahoma. Kansas has sent notice. And so, look, the big take in West Virginia, they lost to Kansas, but they put a nice show on Thursday night on the road against Virginia Tech. And so, look, I don't know. Like, if you ask me right now, hey, who's your pick to win the Big 12? My answer would be, I have no idea. This is as wide open as I can remember it ever. Maybe ever. I mean, the top of the standings right now, Kansas, Baylor, Kansas State, and Texas Tech. Bottom of the standings, all with one loss, West Virginia, Texas, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. And two teams that haven't played yet, TCU and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, maybe they're the best team. I don't know. That wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. But that's wild. And so the biggest takeaway from the obvious, the fact that they won games that were very important, is that I think you can reasonably believe on this Monday morning, if you're a K-State fan or if you're a Kansas fan, why not think that you can compete in the Big 12? Why not? What team do you see and think, well, there's no way they can beat them? Or what team do you look at and think, well, no, they're just head and shoulders above everyone else? I don't know. Who was supposed to be the best team? Oklahoma? Well, they just got beat. I mean, Baylor looks okay, but they've been beat already. So that's my big takeaway from that. If you're Kansas and you're Kansas State, you wake up on Monday morning, you're both 1-0 in the conference, and you're in a wide-open conference that you can compete and help maybe win it. Who knows? Maybe we'll see a battle for first place at the end of the season between Kansas and Kansas State in Manhattan. Maybe. Right now, the odds might be pretty good that at least one of those teams are playing for it. Who knows? That's all I can tell you. That's what my takeaway is. That thing is wide open. And if you're a Missouri fan, I don't know what to tell you. We've seen games like this before, even though I think I've never seen as many different things happen like that. Like, I've seen unthinkable missed game-winning field goals. I've seen terrible penalties. I've seen bad coaching decisions. I've seen weird things happen in end zones. I don't know if I've seen them all together in the same spot. And I know people are arguing and debating whether or not Drinkwitz should have relied on his third-team All-American. Is he All-American kicker? I mean, the thicker kicker. Should he have relied on him or just went ahead and tried to score the touchdown against a team that could not move the ball whatsoever in the second half? All I can do is be real and be honest and tell you how I reacted when I was watching the game with my wife and Phil St. John, who had left the room because he did not want to hear anything, because I think he had a feeling. And so when Lovett had that unbelievable catch to get him down inside the 5-yard line, my first reaction, I looked at Sue, and look, this is before I knew that he was going to decide to kneel the ball and then kick a field goal. Like, okay, punch it in. Auburn has no chance to score a touchdown. Punch it in. Okay, score the touchdown. Let's go. And then, and look, it's totally defensible. It's totally defensible. He decides to kneel the ball twice, force Auburn to use the rest of their timeouts, and end the game, end regulation with a field goal attempt. And I just, I looked over at Sue and I said, I hate relying on a kicker. I don't care what the kicker is. I don't care who the kicker is. I hate relying on a kicker when you have an opportunity to score the touchdown. I hate it. I said, I hope he doesn't miss, but I said, that's bad juju, man. And I know it's been brought up that Gary Pinkle did the same exact thing in a win against Kansas at Arrowhead long ago. And I don't care. I'm just telling you what I thought when I saw it. I'm not going to lie. I looked at Sue and I said, I hate relying on a kicker when you can score a touchdown. And they're making a big deal about how Meavis doesn't warm up. Doesn't take any warm-up kicks. He's going to get out there and this, that, and everything else. Misses a 26-yard field goal attempt. They go to overtime, and they force Auburn into a 44-yard attempt? The defense was playing fantastic. Auburn couldn't get a yard in overtime. And they missed the 44-yarder. Oh, yes! Offside. Oh, no! Give them another chance. Then they nail the 39-yarder. Get the ball back. Get a 5-yard run. Run it again with Nate Pete. He breaks loose. He's going to the end zone. Unnecessarily tries to reach the ball across. Because I say unnecessarily. It wasn't fourth down. It wasn't for the win. If he gets knocked out at the one, then you've got first goal at the one. He didn't have to have it, but the kid's trying to make a play. Heat of the moment. He reaches the ball across the goal line, but the ball drops out of his hand before it gets across the goal line, goes in the end zone, and Auburn recovers. And so it went from literally, at least those three moments there where I thought Mizzou had won the game. When Meavis was going to kick the field goal, after Auburn missed their field goal, and they go, okay, that they didn't score in their possession in overtime. And then you give them another chance, and then dropping the ball in the end zone. It's unbelievable. You couldn't write a script like that. And so, and I get it, man. I don't feel strongly enough to argue about it. Like Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com is defended Eli Drinkwitz very strongly. And many people have. Hey, you made the right decision. You got a great kicker, and you end the game with the kick. And all I can tell you is what my gut reaction was. I said, I hate depending on a kicker when you score a touchdown. You had that defense on its heels. He's had a big pass down inside the 5-yard line. Score the touchdown. Auburn can do nothing. Go look at the numbers and see what Auburn did the second half. Nothing. And then all of a sudden you think they're going to, I don't know, playing not to lose. So, but again, I get it. There's numbers that defend it. There's numbers that, well, the results say it was the wrong choice. And it's kind of a results-based business. As far as the Chiefs, that was much like the Mizzou game. So many things had to happen for them to lose that game. It's mind-boggling. So many different things had to happen for them to lose that game. It's mind-boggling. And they all had to happen for them to lose. And then you look back, and it's almost, I know some people suggest it's almost like it was scripted. It's almost unbelievable that those things happened. Sky Moore, who looks like he's never returned punts before in his life, because he's never returned punts before in his life, he had to muff a punt inside the five. Matt Amendola had to miss a PAT and a field goal. And he had to rattle Andy Reid's faith in him in order to where Andy Reid felt compelled to try an ill-advised fake field goal. And then the Chiefs had to miss that fake field goal. And then Travis Kelce, the best tight end, the best receiving tight end ever, had to drop a touchdown that would have essentially won the game, a football that he's a pass that he's caught a million times that hit both of his hands. He had to drop it. And then Chris Jones, on a 4th-and-14, where the defense is walking off the field and the drive is over, he had to stand there and say something to Matt Ryan that was bad enough to where the official threw the flag, which that's a whole nother story. It's hard for me to believe a game as violent as football. You can throw a flag that helps decide a game because of words. You literally got guys getting their heads knocked off. But bad man said bad words, we're going to penalize him and alter the ending of the game. Because that's what happened. What on earth did he say? What could he have said that deserved the game's ending to be changed? Now, that said, as I was saying, and again, I can just tell you what I was doing when it happened. Again, I'm watching this damn game with poor Sue, and I don't know why she keeps watching football games with me. As soon as they get the sack, and he's standing there in Matt Ryan's face, I'm screaming, "Get off the field! Get off the field!" Because it just felt like he was going to get a flag thrown on him. Because I was afraid he was going to bump him or do something stupid. Because he's right there out in the open, and who's he jawing with? The quarterback. And you can't do nothing to the quarterback unless, of course, you grab Pat Mahomes' face mask out of bounds. That's cool. You can yank on his face mask. That won't get called. But if you say something bad to Matt Ryan right in his face, that's 15 yards. But I was yelling, "Get away from him!" I didn't think he was going to get penalized for an insult. I thought he was going to bump him or bump his face mask or something because he's right in his face. And let's just be honest, there's no reason to be there. You can say that it was a ridiculous call. You can say that him getting penalized for words and that helps decide a game is ridiculous, which it was. But you can also say, why are you putting yourself in that situation? Why are you putting your team in that situation? Just walk off the field. There's one way that I know of that to prevent the official from making that call. Get off the field. What are you doing? What are you doing? What's the point of it? Nate, what's the point of it? Tell me. Well, hey, you're no right. Point. You told him.
Yeah.
You just shut his ass down.
The scoreboard will tell him.
That just what yeah, just what the needed to be said there.
Him. Yeah.
And you're standing there, it's not in a big scrum, it's just you and him, right in front of the officials, almost like you're daring the official to throw a flag. I can't believe the official threw the flag, but you're daring him to. And he did. Played a game of chicken and you lost. Should have never been in that situation. And I hate when people say, well, you can't blame him, it shouldn't have come down to that, but it did. Well, just because, the team's made mistakes leading up to that, you say, oh, I'm just going to be undisciplined now. We've made a bunch of mistakes. So what's one more? Well, one more can cost you the game. That always irritates me. Well, it shouldn't have come down to that. It did come down to that. And you make plenty of mistakes throughout a game. That's a cop-out. Because you were still in position to win the game. Is that supposed to absolve everything? Well, we made a bunch of mistakes, so it shouldn't come down to this, so let me get penalized. But it does come down to it. And then, that was watching the Missouri game and the Chiefs game, man, that was like, it was unbelievable. It was like, the list of things that had to happen for both those teams to lose, I don't know if it could ever happen again, but I am a Mizzou fan and a Chiefs fan, so I bet it probably could. And they were, and the Chiefs were playing the Colts. And I've seen some of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life of watching football when the Chiefs play the Colts. I can promise you that. Think of the list. I'm going to have some water. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Nate. And we'll hear from Marco. And we'll be back after this on WHB.
I'm sure that's how it looked, but there really wasn't. When I say he wanted to go for it, obviously. Not a Hail Mary, something else that we have in the plan. But I thought it was best not to do it. So he was just—he's a competitive kid, and he wants to, take advantage of every opportunity. I thought it was best just to let that ride there. But it really, if you heard the words that were said, that wasn't, I don't know how it looked to you guys, but it wasn't a confrontation at all. That's not what it was.
Welcome back to the show. I love how it's pushed back, you know, on the people asking the questions. I don't know how it looked to you guys. Well, it looked like they were arguing. Because we have eyeballs. That's what it looked like. I don't know what you guys are trying to create, but nothing happened. You didn't see that. They weren't arguing. Didn't you see they embraced? They were smiling. If you'd have heard what they said, they were complimenting each other. You're complimenting each other on a job well done. You guys have no idea what you're talking about. They were speculating on the latest episode of House of the Dragon. If you'd heard what the words that were said, you'd realize they were, it's like, okay, all right. All right, everyone's a moron. Okay. They argue. We've seen it happen before. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, and it's not the end of the world either. How many times have you seen Tom Brady argue with a teammate or a coach or a coordinator? 10, 15? How many times has he, you know, attacked a piece of equipment? I mean, football is a game of heated emotions. Did you see what Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey did to his setup in the coach's box after they lost?
He rage quit that game.
I mean, yeah, it's just, you know. I mean, just call it what it is. I don't know what you think you saw. Well, I think we saw them arguing about whether or not they should go for it. That's what I think we saw that. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to make a big deal of it, but just admit it what it was. Emotions get heated, you know. That happens in football. We move on. Now, have you heard the words that would have been said? You know, what were we saying? I like you. No, I like you too. You did a great job. You're doing great. Oh, that's great. All right. I'm buying tonight. Okay. Okay. That's great. See you later. just. Someone did weigh in on it though. Shady McCoy, LeSean McCoy.
He's throwing some shade around, wasn't he?
He posted to on Instagram when someone posted the story about this, and Shady McCoy said, "All Bienemy does is argue with the players. Knows nothing about passing or play calling." So, and I'm not going to dismiss it. I don't know. He was there. He's bitter, but so that's what they. So Shady McCoy says, okay, duly noted. And it's along with this picture of this, they were arguing. It's okay to say it. Look at his face. Yeah. That's what was happening.
Arguments like, happen.
But big deal.
Right.
Although it's happened, you know, that's not why they lost, but it is of note. Because and people were tweeting to me, boy, someone check on St. John. Do you not know the things I've seen as a Mizzou fan, as a Chiefs fan? Do you not understand? This is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Can we just rewind? I hate to take you down this road again, but can we just rewind to what I saw sitting with my wife at Arrowhead Stadium in the AFC Championship game? That was for the Super Bowl. That meltdown in the second half. Sorry, I'm not gonna get all worked up in game three when I'm still getting over that now. That one hot button there, I'm still getting over what happened in the AFC Championship game. But, you know, that. How many games ago was that? That wasn't that long ago. And they were hollering at each other then, so. Duly noted. That's all. Make a note of it. It's something that's now happened a few times lately.
To me, that one was as simple as Patrick always wants to go for it. He's always going to want to go for it, and that's good. I want my quarterback to always want to go for it.
And he wanted to go for it in the championship game, and it backfired, and Bienemy was all pissed off. And so he wanted to go for it here, and Bienemy was yelling at him again. So, but, you know, hey,
Yeah.
Theoretically, I'd like to see him on the same page when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe not. But I've heard from enough people that Bieniemy argues with players. Maybe a little too much. Okay? And there is something to be said for the idea that he has been a candidate to be a head coach every year for the past 3 years, and he hasn't received the job yet. There's got to be a reason for it. I don't know if that's it or if that's just one of the or whatever. But there is a little bit of smoke there with players, you know, not seeing eye to eye with Eric Bieniemy. I don't know, but it happened. We're not making it up, as Andy Reid's suggesting. I don't know what you think you saw. Like, I think I saw what was on TV. I don't know. Like, I think I saw the Chiefs lose. I think I, you know, there's a lot of things I think I saw. I guess I'm not totally sure, Andy. What did I see? Tell me. Gaslight me. I don't know. What did I see? Oh, they skipped off the field together, hand in hand. Oh, did? Okay, great. Just making sure. You just, that just irritates me, you know? Just admit what it was and move on.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. Well, we don't know what Chris Jones said either. That's the tough part is, you know, you can see things, but you can't hear the words. Yeah. So, but I feel like...
What do you think he said?
Jones?
Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, I ran through that in my head. I was like, you know, because it is... I was thinking about, okay, what's my opinion on this? And it's hard to have... I can't have a full opinion because I don't know what he said.
Am I wrong to think there's nothing that he could have said that would warrant a flag in that situation?
I don't know.
I just don't.
That's so subjective, you know. But I know this. They throw flags for crap like that in this league, right? Like, they've been throwing flags for... Remember, who was it that got... Like, the guys last year got flags just for looking at somebody the wrong way after a sack. Remember that? He strutted and looked at his face, you know, stared him down after he sacked him.
Sitting grade school. Flag. I mean, just philosophically, I just think, what are we doing here?
Mike Tomlin says that he's on that committee, you know, sportsmanship committee.
Where do you draw
whatever.
The line at? Like, what did he say?
I don't know. But you're right. I mean, there's an easy way to avoid that flag.
It's ridiculous. You know? The whole thing was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it shouldn't have come down to that, but it did, so don't do it, you know?
Well, yeah, it shouldn't have come down. I mean, there's a whole lot of blame to spread around in that game. You know, there's a lot of different guys that could put their hand up and say, my bad on that one. And they did. I mean, like, you know, Kelsey took to Twitter and said, hey, my bad, should have caught it.
KC, you deserve better out of me. Should have put the game away when I had the chance. Hats off to the Colts. They got us. Back to work ASAP. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. And Jones took responsibility, said, my fault. You know, so, and in the NFL, that is, if you make enough mistakes like that, any team in the league will be able to beat you. It's too much parity in this league to play a game like that and expect to win, especially on the road.
I did want to hear from Matt Amendola, but he missed the flight home. So.
Yikes. I was actually really hoping he was going to get a chance to redeem himself with the field goal at the end there.
Oh, I wasn't. That guy can't make a kick. No. I'd seen that enough. I'm sorry. I mean, that would have been a great story.
Yeah.
But he had proven himself to me. Andy Reid didn't want to see that either. He's trying fake field goals on 4th and 10. By the way, if you're going to do that, just let Mahomes... Just run a play. If you're going to do that. I don't know. Because, you know. So stupid. Maybe I didn't see that either. I don't know what you think you saw, but we didn't try a fake field goal. Okay. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol. What the hell was that? Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, Marco Marquez. Let's listen to Chris Jones speaking. Well, he did a lot of talking, but here he talks more after the loss to Indianapolis.
Did he express some level of frustration at you for sort of maybe after the snap?
I was frustrated that I got called. I don't think I said anything horrendous, but, you know, the official called it, and I can't take it back. So I got to do a better job of playing the game and Not saying anything, obviously.
Was Matt surprised, Ryan talking also?
Like, I thought we was having a conversation with one another, but, you know, never know what the official scene could have heard something that was loud. So, you know, I just got to do a better job, man. Playing football.
Did he surprise at the flag?
Yeah, I was clearly surprised. I didn't think he was going to call the flag when we was clearly, you know, having a conversation. But, you know.
Did you get an explanation from the ref? Did you ask for one?
There's no need for no explanation. You know, the flag was called. That's what he's called. So, you know, can't argue, can't take a flag back. So, next play.
Chris, how hard is it just to get past that it happened that way?
Oh, it sucks, man, because I blame myself for that. It was third down. We got off the field. Defense fought hard. And I kind of put us in a situation to get back on the field, and then we got scored on. And that sums up the game, so I take that one. That was my fault. It was definitely my fault. As a veteran player on this team, I got to be better, you know, with those type of things, especially those situations. But it won't happen again for me. I take full blame. Apologize to my team, you know, for putting us in that type of situation. It was third down, we was off the field. Would have gave our offense the ball back.
So. Did you actually speak to the team explicitly, or are you just sort of saying that in a general way?
Just
right
saying
now?
It in general, you know?
Yeah. Is this the type of thing you feel like you said, done before without being flagged in the past?
Listen, I've never been flagged for talking or having a conversation. But the game is evolving, man. So we got to learn to adjust as players, and we got to do a better job at it.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I would want an explanation so I wouldn't do it again. I mean, it is. I think it is. Well, I don't know.
Didn't get much detail from the ref.
I mean, that changed the game.
Yeah.
That was. I mean, that's. I don't know. I think it's unnecessary. I think it's ridiculous. I think the whole thing's ridiculous. Chris Jones, why are you talking to Matt Ryan? Like, why are you standing out there, staying out there after your team gets off the field? And, I mean, official, keep your flag in your pocket in that situation. Would anyone have said anything? Would anyone have said boo if he doesn't throw the flag?
Well, the NFL might have. I mean, they seem to... I mean, going back to the
about
last
what,
couple
though?
Years, I mean, they...
What would they have seen? Like, that jumped out on film?
I don't know.
Hey, go back. He was talking to him. They couldn't have heard what he said.
Yeah.
Like what stood out to you? Like Colts fans, were they, I mean, clamoring? I mean, and they, like, Matt Ryan got hit. Everybody was shocked. Matt Ryan said he was surprised he took the flag. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like... You know, Mahomes getting his face mask yanked out of bounds. And there was nothing that happened that was like, oh, throw a flag, you know. I was yelling, get away from him, because I thought he was going to bump him.
Yeah, he was kind of face mask to face mask.
I thought he was going to bump him or do something like that or just do something silly. But whatever. Referee Sean Smith said Chris Jones' flag was abusive language towards an opponent.
He was standing right there, so I'm sure he heard it, whatever he said.
He would not elaborate on what that language was. Nothing more specific than that, abusive language. Jesus. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, it's the NFL. And these guys knock each other in the next week, and you're worried about... I can't get over that. I mean, whatever. It's soft.
Yeah.
It's just so soft.
I don't know what he said. I mean,
is it wrong that I don't care?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess we all have things you can say to somebody that's, you know, more hurtful than physical things, but I don't know. I just...
Like, what could he have said to 37-year-old Matt Ryan that would have been more hurtful than... I'm just...
know, as Chris Jones said, the league's evolving. You know, things that are penalties now were not always penalties. They call that stuff. Remember, I can't remember who it was last year. Somebody got a sack in a game. I feel like it was a Bears game, and literally just like stared at the quarterback for a little bit while he ran off the field, and they gave him a flag for it. He didn't even say anything. He just like looked at him wrong. You know,
I mean, the game was on the line here.
Yeah.
This changed possession.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the game was over.
Marco, you think like something like that should be called in that situation?
No, not in that situation.
Just walk
especially.
Away. Nothing happens from it. No one complains about it. You just walk away, and no one ever speaks of it again.
Yeah, so it's – I don't know if you guys noticed, and George Karloftis was on that too, and it's like he ran off the field, and so it's like that's what you're supposed to do right there. You do the job, and then you get off the field, get ready for the next play. Nate, what you're referring to was back last year. It was a Bears and Steelers game. Late in the fourth quarter, Cassius Marsh for the Bears was called for taunting for staring at the Steelers bench after sacking
He looked at the bench. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then like I was stunned because Mike Tomlin was like, yeah, that's what we on the sportsmanship committee, we want that called. We think it sets a bad example for the kids and all that stuff.
Which is what you say if you're the coach who just benefited from the penalty. But I was more afraid that Jones was going to get called for like a late hit because I don't know if you noticed on the sack, he laid on him.
And
I thought that's what they were chirping about possibly. But if it's something about words, then get that out. Just throw that out the window. But I would have, yeah.
Well, that's what it was. I mean, that was.
It's just words.
Hey, man, in today's world, people lose their careers over words. You know, I don't know. It's a different world.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's soft.
I'm just going to start carrying around a yellow flag with me around the office.
Yeah.
15-yard penalty.
Oh, well, we'll just agree to disagree. I think it's ridiculous. But, you know, just hopefully next time we won't give the referee a chance to throw the flag. And that'll be it. And it was a wild game, wild day in the NFL just besides that. I mean, it's a shame because some other teams, other contenders, you know, Buffalo lost. You know, their defense is ravaged by injury, but they came down to the wire and they lost to the Dolphins. The Raiders lost again. Are the Chargers bad or are the Jags good? I think it's well, first of all, the Chargers, Herbert's hurt. He probably shouldn't have played. At one point, Chase Daniel was going to start. Not that he would have led them to a win, but Herbert's clearly compromised. But, boy, does Trevor Lawrence look better under Doug Peterson than he did under Urban Meyer. And I know you're not a big Trevor Lawrence fan, but I think maybe, you know, the right coach can unlock, because he does have massive potential, and they put some more weapons around him. He looked fantastic yesterday. And those are two shocking results. They were shut out the Colts, and they beat the Chargers in L.A. 38-10. That's stunning, right? That's stunning. Would you have possibly guessed they'd beat the Chargers by four touchdowns? And then the Broncos beat the 49ers in extra innings 11-10. So.
Man, that was a brutal game to watch.
And the Packers beat the Bucks 14-12. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to tell you. But I'll take a break back after this on WHP. Tell you about the only thing that went well for football for me is watching Lamar Jackson as the quarterback for the competitive pricks. You realize that no player in NFL history has thrown for three touchdowns and rushed for 110 yards twice in the same season. He just did that in back-to-back games. He scored 50 and 48 for me. And we've seen Aaron Judge bet on himself in the contract year, and God only knows what he's added to what he was going to make. Lamar Jackson, with every game, where's that price tag going right now? Baltimore's like, oh, God. Oh, no. His numbers are incredible. It's unbelievable. And Jalen Hurts, like right now, I mean, it's three games in, but those are your two MVP candidates. Jalen Hurts looks like one of the best quarterbacks in football. And the Eagles are incredible. I can't figure nothing out. That's the great thing, I guess, about not the great thing, but the one thing that you can hang your head on if you're disappointed by the Chiefs' loss. I mean, like I said, Buffalo looked vulnerable. The Dolphins are really good, but they've gotten a little lucky the past two games. But they're 3-0 and they deserve it. They're there. I mean, there's no team that I look at now and think, well, the Chiefs can't beat them. If they clean up their act, like I saw some people just with ridiculous, you know, tweets and Mahomes is done. The Chiefs are done. The Chiefs won't make the playoffs. I get it. You're upset, but come on. Chill out.
What were the Chiefs last year?
Just chill out, you know? I mean, so I'll just ask you this. First things first, the division. The Raiders are a train wreck. Josh McDaniels is not a good football coach. That had already been proven before, but, you know, people just wanted to, oh, no. He went back to New England and really figured things out. They're 0-3. They don't know what the hell's going on. And I get it. Herbert got hurt. He's not 100%. But the Chargers just lost 38-10 to the Jags. And if you watch that, did you guys watch any of that game at all?
No.
Trevor Lawrence looked like an all-pro.
And he might be.
Right. Like he's got a world of talent.
He might be.
And he just may have the right coach to unlock him, and they did add some talent around him. But he looked incredible. That wasn't the Jags scoring on a bunch of defensive touchdowns, special team touchdowns, getting lucky. What were his numbers? Damn it, Marco, you must have all these things at your fingertips. Trevor Lawrence was 28-39 for 262, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And James Robinson ran for 100 yards. Etienne added 45 yards. Zay Jones had 85 yards. Christian Kirk had 72 yards. I mean, three different guys caught touchdowns. Like, you know. And so it wasn't just Herbert being hurt and they lost a knockdown drag out. The Jacksonville offense was a juggernaut against the Chargers defense. That's the takeaway there. You know what I mean? Like, you could say, well, if Herbert would have been healthy, I don't know. If he'd have been healthy, what would they needed to score 39? So, I mean, I don't know. That's then the Broncos, they won last night, but that was watching that game was, I don't know what that watching that game was like. I was pulling teeth. You know? I don't usually watch people get their teeth pulled, but I would imagine something like that. Like, did either of you guys watch that game?
Yeah.
Did you watch it and you think, oh man, Broncos got this division. They really are good.
They were getting booed. They were getting booed in the fourth quarter. They won the game, but they were getting booed in the fourth quarter by their home fans.
They won the game because Jimmy Garoppolo ripped open his jersey and it showed the G. Yes, it's me, G-Man. I'm Jimmy Garoppolo. Let me remind you, I'll throw a mind-numbing interception with a game on the line. What was that? It was like three or four, like triple, quadruple coverage. What was that? With the game on the line, all they had to do was drive to kick a field goal. And then he's in the end zone, like, you know, he got Dan Orlovsky off the hook, so now not everyone's just going to make fun of Dan Orlovsky for stepping out of the back of the end zone. Jimmy Garoppolo, and oh, by the way, everyone was reminded, that's why they drafted Trey Lance. Oh, okay. how quickly we forget. Yeah, that's the guy that was overthrowing wide-open receivers in the Super Bowl. Remember? We'll take a break. Back after this on WHP.